Multiple estrogens. Imagine a super estrogen that is hundreds of times more powerful than the most potent natural estrogen. It fits precisely into the estrogen receptor, just like natural estrogens. Then imagine that it is included in many of the foods you eat, every day, at every meal. This is the nightmare scenario of the chemical estrogen theory of breast cancer. Chemicals in the environment that act just like an estrogen when they attach to the estrogen receptor on breast cells, but provide a signal that is many times more powerful. How could these chemicals still be in our food and water? The most pervasive chemical estrogen imitators are pesticides. DDT, although banned in 1974, has remained in the soil and water for nearly 25 years. Some pesticides may still be found in foods, since they are not routinely tested for, including those imported from other countries. Others make their way into the fat stores of animals and fish, where they are concentrated. The theory that chemicals in the environment may be a risk for breast cancer does have some support. A Mount Sinai study of New York women showed that women with high levels of DDE, the breakdown product of DDT, had four times the risk of breast cancer than women with the lowest levels. In late 1997, PVM Shekhar reported in the prestigious Journal of the National Cancer Institute that the pesticide DDT can synergistically collaborate with estrogen. So while it need not have a powerful estrogenic effect on its own, combined with estrogen, it can have a very potent effect. The chemical estrogen theory is very alarming, but has been very tough to prove. There is another camp with beliefs just as intense, that there is no connection at all, that these chemicals may even protect against breast cancer. It comes as little surprise that this latter camp is led by a major agricultural school, but they are joined by a prestigious group at Harvard. In fact, the well-respected Harvard Nurses' Health Study has failed to find any link between two of the most common organochlorines, DDT and PCBs, and breast cancer. The Harvard study has not made this a dead issue. The study simply tells us that blood levels don't correlate with cancer risk. However, fat, as we've seen, can concentrate these chemicals up to 700 times those found in the blood. With the debate at a seeming impasse, Dr. Barry Golden of the Tufts University School of Medicine has taken chemical estrogens a quantum leap further. What Dr. Golden showed is that by adding a combination of pesticides together, a more powerful mixture is created, far more powerful than any estrogen the body can make. Just look at three common pesticides. Endosulfan, which is mainly found in contaminated fruits and vegetables, and dieldrin and chlordane, which can be found in contaminated beef, lamb, chicken, freshwater fish, and some saltwater fish. The three together create what he calls an alarming effect. Barry points out, too, that we're not exposed to just a single pesticide in the environment, but to combinations just like these three. This helps greatly in solving the puzzle of how pesticides could lead to cancer. This concept is very similar to what researchers found after the Gulf War. No single agent caused Gulf War syndrome, but the combination of different toxic chemicals did. You'll recall that with Gulf War syndrome, one panel of medical experts after another derided the idea of a common pattern to the illnesses being presented because combatants were not exposed to alarming levels of any one agent. So too with breast cancer. A mixture of pesticides creates a combination far more powerful than any estrogen. Still, this is a debate that remains very hot and is far from settled. Breast benefits of avoiding chemical estrogens. The principal benefit of lowered chemical estrogen is that less energy is brought to the estrogen receptor. However, Mary Lee Gammon of Columbia University has shown that under lab conditions, organochlorines can also increase estrogen production. How to cut your exposure to chemical estrogens? Plant-based organic diet. This is the safest and best way to reduce your exposure to chemical estrogens. If red meat has a high fat content, excess estrogen or chemical estrogens may be present in the fat. By eliminating meats, you cut a large source of animal fats that can store pesticides and other chemical estrogens. By eating organic foods from farms that have never used pesticides, you minimize the risk of ingesting chemical estrogens. The plants also provide protection against breast cancer with antioxidants and weak estrogens that block the estrogen receptor. Lean meats. There are meats that contain lesser amounts of injected or chemical estrogens. I look for organically produced beef and poultry. I trim poultry of skin and fat. By trimming these sources of fat before cooking, you ensure that you are not consuming potential carcinogens trapped in the fat. Also, be sure to marinate your chicken before grilling, since unmarinated grilled chicken can still contain the same hefty share of the heterocyclic amines that red meats do. Look, too, for safer meats such as venison, turkey, quail, rabbit, and pheasant, all of which have far fewer chemical estrogens. Lean dairy. Dairy products carry organochlorines, largely in fat, so low-fat products are a much safer bet. Organically produced low-fat dairy products are the best of all. Organic soy milk is an even safer alternate. Low-risk seafood. As great as omega-3 fatty acids are for breast protection, there is the added risk of chemical estrogens in the fat. Cold, deep, saltwater fish, harvested as far away as possible from contaminated mainland estuaries, are safest. These include tuna, sea bass, red snapper, Arctic char, halibut, and orange roughy. Some of my favorites, unfortunately, are off the list. Those include the key fish off our summer home, bluefish, swordfish, lobster, and striped bass. Great Lakes fish and fish from inland waterways and European rivers and inland waters may also be risky. As a native of Boston and big fan of fish and fishing, I don't mean to be unduly alarming. The burden of proof, however, is on the seller. The fisheries industry says there is far less contamination now than in the past, but they need to provide the public with proof. Some innovative producers are making chemical-free fish. For instance, a Norwegian fish farm has a deep, pollution-free fjord where it now produces salmon. Organic vegetables. Even in the United States, over a dozen pesticides can be sprayed on fruit or vegetables. My biggest concern is for pesticides, now outlawed in the United States, that may still be present on fruits and vegetables imported to America from foreign countries. You can remove many of the pesticides by a thorough washing, but organic products are unquestionably a safer bet. Should you avoid fruits and vegetables if you can't get organic ones? A major review in the journal Cancer says the greater danger is avoiding fruits and vegetables altogether, because the gains so far outweigh the risks. The American Cancer Society points out that the consumption of 5 fruits and vegetables every day decreases the risk of breast cancer by 50%. Block chemical estrogens. Since it's clearly impossible to avoid all chemical estrogens, and since every one of us still has chemical estrogens stored in our bodies, blocking their effect is the easiest strategy and may be the most effective. It's one you may have already elected to undertake to block the effect of natural estrogens. Refer to the section, Step 1, Block the Estrogen Receptor, for information on how soy and flaxseed consumption can contribute to the estrogen-blocking effect. So what should you do? Since the proof of this concept is far from convincing in the evidence presented to date, that leaves you, the consumer, with the possibility that the foods you eat are doing you real harm, but without the motivation to change foods or eating habits. How far should you go? With a young family, I would take the extra measure to limit chemicals in foods, especially given the dramatic rise in children's cancers and the large increased risk of breast cancer that is derived from childhood and adolescence. For a busy adult on the go, it's harder to make the case. Is it really worth all the effort? Will you really stick with the program? My advice is to take a few simple steps by being wise in your selection of meat, dairy, and fish products, and then to consider an estrogen receptor blocker. There is an intensive effort underway to identify the most powerful chemical estrogens and to develop testing to find them in our food supply. The Environmental Protection Agency is pioneering the concept of the cumulative risk of multiple chemical estrogens. It is also developing tests for chemical estrogens in foods. Until those tests are regularly applied, the buyer must beware. Recommendation: until research is more conclusive, avoid meats, fish, and non-organic produce that may be high in chemical estrogens, especially if you are a breast cancer survivor, are at high risk for breast cancer, or are an adolescent. For further information on reducing pesticide exposure, contact the Cornell Pesticide Management Education Program, an excellent resource with fact sheets and publications. They are located at 5123 Comstock Hall, Ithaca, New York, 14583-0999. Phone 607-255-1866. Step 9. Decrease body fat. Excess body fat presents a risk of breast cancer throughout a woman's life, from childhood through menopause. Researchers at Memorial Sloan Kettering are frankly surprised by the lack of attention paid to weight loss as a means of preventing cancer. Although there are many ways to weight control, there are several additional principles that are necessary to cut your cancer risk. Fortunately, many of the measures you are already taking to control your weight, such as adding fiber, cutting your fat, and dropping your glucose load, will make a big impact on safe, effective fat loss. In fact, you will find that fat loss is actually far easier using the measures recommended for control of cancer risk. You'll find weight loss a pleasure. Breast benefits of normal body fat. There are plenty of good reasons to be trim, but a surprising number of reasons that being trim is good for your breasts. Abdominal fat is a veritable estrogen factory, so losing abdominal fat decreases estrogen production. Girls with low body fat have later menarche. Women with low body fat slow the resumption of ovulation after breastfeeding and decrease the storage area for chemical estrogens. After menopause, a lower body fat decreases bad estrogen production and increases estrogen carrier production. For younger women, a lower body fat makes tumors far easier to find. Tumors are notoriously hard to find in young women with more than 15 to 20% excess body fat. How to drop body fat for maximum breast health. The most effective possible ways of controlling body fat are, not coincidentally, the most effective ways of decreasing the risk of breast cancer. The key is this: let foods do the job for you. Why? Billions of people around the world perfectly control their weight simply by eating foods that keep them lean. Low-glucose, high-fiber foods are the heart of any such program. This is described in great detail in my last book, Dr. Bob Arnott's Revolutionary Weight Control Program, which outlines how foods act as drugs to help you lose weight. If you follow the full dietary program, which I outline in the following, you will be able to settle at the weight that gives you the least risk of breast cancer and the greatest degree of breast health. That program embodies the key principles of decreased glucose load, few saturated fats, and increased fiber. Fiber is the foundation upon which any successful long-term weight loss program is built. The University of Kentucky's Dr. James Anderson was one of the earliest to use gums and guars, agents that slow the digestion of food, with his patients. Even after 42 months of outpatient follow-up, Dr. Anderson's patients maintain an average 15-pound weight loss. With its high fiber content, you'll find that soy adds to any weight loss strategy. Soy protein also aids weight loss with its high fiber content, low glucose load, and the highest amount of the alertness-enhancing substance, tyrosine, of any food ever measured. Tyrosine plays a terrific role in maintaining your mental energy without the need for excess calories. When to lose weight. The most dangerous time to gain weight is right at the menopause, because fat serves as an enormous estrogen factory. So even though your ovaries stop producing estrogen, your fat stores produce huge amounts, enough so that many obese women feel few signs of the menopause. At the menopause is when you most want to control your weight. Earlier weight gain can also be quite harmful, especially in your 20s. Learning how to effectively control your weight in your late teens and early 20s is the best course of action. There are studies that show that premenopausal women who are frankly obese do have a lower risk of breast cancer while they are premenopausal. That is because they have so much fat that it interferes with their menstrual cycles, thereby cutting estrogen production. However, their risk will soar once they pass menopause. Women who gain weight at the menopause run an even greater risk. They have none of the protection before menopause and all of the risk after menopause. How much should you weigh? Since the real risk is upper body fat, the easiest way to determine whether you have too much fat is to measure a fold of skin next to your belly button. Much more than an inch, and you're likely to have a body fat level high enough to raise your insulin level. This is a better target than shooting for a specific weight. Remember, you don't need to worry about being 5 to 10 pounds over the ideal if you're eating great foods. Recommendation: try to get within 12 pounds of your ideal body weight. If you're doing everything else right, there's no need to be thinner. Step 10. Limit alcohol. Alcohol consumption is the most solidly established dietary factor related to cancer of the breast and one of the most powerful. The more you drink, the higher your risk. Little wonder. Alcohol is converted to acetaldehyde, which causes cancer in laboratory animals. Alcohol decreases the body's ability to use folic acid, which in turn adversely affects gene regulation. But most important, alcohol directly contributes to the estrogen effect. A National Cancer Institute study showed that alcohol elevates total estrogen levels and the amount of free estradiol that is available to attach to the breast. Abstinence decreases estrogen production. At the opposite extreme, large amounts of alcohol, especially when resulting in liver disease, greatly increase the risk of cancer. Here's why. The liver takes estrogen out of circulation. When the liver is damaged, estrogen levels may climb rapidly. One prime example is breast cancer in men, a cancer that is climbing rapidly in incidence. Most men who do not carry the cancer gene but are diagnosed with breast cancer have as their chief risk a high estrogen level resulting from alcohol damage to the liver. The large amounts of estrogen in their system are enough to cause the primitive breast structures in the male breast to grow. You can just imagine what it does to the female breast. Dose. No alcohol is the safest dose. The specific effects of alcohol on pre- and postmenopausal women are described in the sections Breast Cancer Prevention Plan for Women with High Estrogen Levels and For Women with Low Estrogen Levels. If you do drink, organic products such as champagne, wine, beer, tequila, and vodka are clearly the safest, since they have the least risk of contamination or carcinogens. Recommendation: if you're going to drink for your health, wait until you need it. That's well into your 50s. Then drink sparingly. Step 11. Increase vitamin D. Breast cancer rates vary directly with the amount of solar radiation. The colder, cloudier northeast has a higher rate of breast cancer than the warmer, sunnier south. What's the connection? Exposure to sunlight helps the body manufacture vitamin D. Women in the Northeast manufacture less vitamin D because they are exposed to less natural sunlight, especially in the winter season. Here's how researchers made the connection. They graded a woman's exposure to the sun by the amount of skin damage she had suffered. Those with the most severe loss of elasticity in the skin had, paradoxically, the lowest risk of breast cancer. You might wonder why women didn't make up for the lack of vitamin D through the sunlight by eating the right kinds of vitamin D-rich foods. A recent study from Massachusetts General Hospital showed that 59% of hospitalized patients had too little vitamin D in their bloodstream. That leads many experts to conclude that vitamin D deficiency is widespread in the general American population. The good news is that you can make a concerted effort to get the right amount of vitamin D from your diet and from proper exposure to sunlight. Breast benefits of vitamin D. Vitamin D is a potent inhibitor of a cell's ability to divide and grow. Vitamin D also helps breast cells to become more mature so they are less vulnerable to cancer-causing toxins. Dose. A daily intake of 200 international units, IU, decreased risk of breast cancer by 36%. You may require even higher amounts of vitamin D to maintain strong bones. Here are the amounts recommended by the Institute of Medicine at the National Academy of Sciences. For ages 19 to 50, the recommended amount of vitamin D is 200 international units, or IU. For ages 51 to 70, the recommended amount is 400 IU. And for those who are 71 and older, 600 IU of vitamin D is the recommended daily dosage. As a result of a Massachusetts General Hospital study published in the March 19, 1998, New England Journal of Medicine, some experts believe that we should take even higher amounts of vitamin D, 800 to 1,000 IU. Why? 46% of those who ingested the daily recommended amount of vitamin D had too little vitamin D in their blood. Sources. Most vitamin D should come from sunlight or real food. There is no evidence that a vitamin D supplement has any effect on breast cancer rates. Sunlight. Solar radiation can provide 75% of your daily vitamin D intake. You needn't stay out long, not enough to burn, and not when the sun is at its peak intensity, just enough for a healthy glow. Practically speaking, that means getting out for 15 minutes three times a week. Food. Practically speaking, the easiest way to ingest vitamin D is in fortified breakfast cereals or milk. 8 ounces of milk has 100 IU. Each ounce of breakfast cereal has 50 IU. Recommendation. Be sure to eat a minimum of 200 IU of vitamin D a day for breast cancer prevention, up to 1,000 IU to protect your bones. Get outdoors three times a week for at least 15 minutes, taking the usual precautions to avoid burning. Step 12. Exercise. Exercise is such a powerful preventive factor that, were it a drug, it would be considered a major breakthrough. Women who have exercised their whole lives have altered their entire risk profile. Exercise intercepts the estrogen pathway at several critical junctures. Those women who are physically active when they are young adults are least likely to develop breast cancer, concludes Harvard's Rose Frisch. The most convincing study is that of more than 25,000 Norwegian women. The authors concluded that those who exercised at least 4 hours a week had a 37% lower risk of developing the disease. The more women exercised, the less likely they were to get breast cancer, the investigators found. The best results were found in those women who had already exercised 3 to 5 years. In America, a study at the University of Southern California of 1,000 women concluded that those who exercised 3.8 hours or more a week had less than half the breast cancer of those who remained inactive. Breast benefits of exercise. There's little wonder that exercise is as effective as it is. Exercise blocks the estrogen effect by reducing estrogen production, delays the onset of menarche, prevents the accumulation of abdominal fat, reduces insulin levels, and raises the levels of good estrogen. The most exciting new development is that exercise may help to prevent recurrence of breast cancer. Weight gain seems to be a major predictor of recurrence, according to Pamela Goodwin of the University of Toronto. Dose. In the Norwegian study previously noted, women exercised vigorously enough to raise their heart rates and break into a sweat and did so 4 or more hours a week. Contrast that to the recommendation by the Federal Centers for Disease Control of 20 minutes a day, 3 times a week, which is not nearly enough. Many government and academic recommendations about exercise will tell you what they think you will do instead of what is the most beneficial. For heart health and breast health, 4 hours a week is the mark to shoot for. Clearly, no one is going to hit that mark practicing an exercise they loathe unless they are extremely disciplined. Far better to aim for fun sports that you truly love, from tennis and mountain biking to rollerblading and skiing. The easiest way to get those 4 hours is to find a great weekend activity that you can do for 2 or more hours each Saturday and Sunday. That leaves only 2 more hours during a busy week. What about intensity? That's the big surprise. Clearly, high-intensity exercise helps to disrupt the estrogen pathway in young women in highly competitive sports. For middle-aged women, a moderate intensity of exercise helps to stabilize insulin levels and lower body fat better than more intense exercise. Recommendation: 4 or more vigorous hours of an aerobic activity you really love each week. Part 3. Breast Cancer Prevention Plans. Roadmap to Breast Cancer Prevention Plans. The following sections contain breast cancer prevention strategies. You'll find a full list of recommended steps in each of these sections as follows. Food plan for women with high estrogen levels. Food plan for women with low estrogen levels. This is for women who produce low amounts of estrogen, usually as a consequence of menopause. Breast cancer survivor diet. This is for women who have completed treatment for breast cancer. Supplements. This is a high-intensity chemo prevention program for high-risk women. Also, if you and your family can't commit to a full change in diet, you'll find a few simple daily supplements that should help you substantially cut the estrogen effect. Let me be clear about what I mean by supplements. Large doses of vitamins and of genistein are not recommended. However, for 3 key ingredients of the breast cancer prevention diet, supplements are the most efficient way to ingest high doses. Those are fish oils, indole-3-carbinol, and estrogen blockers. Should you choose to limit the number of steps you undertake to just the most effective, the steps advocated in these sections are rated for their effectiveness from 1 star to 5 stars. Following these sections, you'll hear a section on dietary suggestions for girls and adolescents, a section on healthy cuisines, and a section of meal plans incorporating all of the recommendations of the breast cancer prevention diet. Breast cancer prevention plan for women with high estrogen levels before menopause. The premenopausal years are when most women palpably feel the risk of breast cancer for the first time. They see friends or mothers die of the disease. It is a frightening time, and that fear usually turns to action, if there is any action to take. If you are a younger woman, there is a great deal that you can do to avoid breast cancer. For most of you, it is not likely that you will see the results pay off until the postmenopausal years, when the greatest number of breast cancer cases develop. Drink sparingly, 5 stars. Alcohol has its strongest effect on a premenopausal female. Each daily drink increases the risk of breast cancer by 11%. Alcohol works by increasing estrogen levels in the blood. Clearly, in the premenopausal years, when the body produces large amounts of estrogen, alcohol can have a very large effect. The greatest effect is for women who begin drinking before 30. Women under 30 run the biggest risks and derive the least benefit from alcohol. Alcohol in younger women also increases the risk of depression, suicide, poisoning, cirrhosis of the liver, and accidental death. This is also when the risk of coronary artery disease is extremely low and there is little rationale for drinking to prevent heart disease. Block estrogen, 5 stars. Estrogen blockers play their most positive preventive role in premenopausal women. While there are many questions about soy usage in adolescents and postmenopausal women, a healthy daily dose of soy is what appears to keep hundreds of millions of women in the Far East free from cancer. After evaluating all the risks and benefits of soy, as detailed in the section, Step 1, Block the Estrogen Receptor, consider eating 35 to 60 grams of soy a day, or 25 grams of flax, if you have never had breast cancer. Since soy is one of the highest quality proteins in nature, you may simply want to substitute soy for most of your other protein. Using soy during pregnancy or while nursing is covered in the section Daughters. Since both breastfeeding and pregnancy provide on their own protection against breast cancer, consuming soy is not as critical during those times. Three studies have shown a reduced risk for premenopausal breast cancer with soy consumption. If you are at extremely high risk of breast cancer and carry the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, you should determine if an estrogen-blocking drug is appropriate by consulting with top experts at a National Cancer Institute-designated comprehensive cancer center. Raloxifene is not approved for use by premenopausal women. Tamoxifen has been reviewed by the FDA for use by premenopausal women and has a low side effect profile for women under 50. Exercise, 5 stars. This is one of the few absolutely proven steps to prevent breast cancer. Intense exercise cuts estrogen production and may interfere with menstrual cycles. This substantially cuts the estrogen effect. However, adolescent girls should not overdo it, since exercise physiologists are concerned that extremely vigorous exercise can stop menstrual periods altogether, possibly leading to extensive bone loss. Avoid omega-6 fats. 4 stars. A lifelong habit of avoiding omega-6 fats will protect your breasts from the powerful booster effect these fats inflict. Eat fish or take fish oil. 4 stars. Fish in the diet is a good long-term preventive strategy, provided the fish are low in chemical estrogens. If you won't eat fish, or are at a high risk of breast cancer, then supplementing your diet with 10 grams of fish oil a day is worth discussing with your doctor. As a young woman, if you avoid omega-6 fats, you have less need for fish oil capsules, since you may not need to compensate with large amounts of omega-3 fats. Control body fat, 4 stars. Weight gained from the age of 18 on creates a striking risk for breast cancer. In fact, many of the other risk factors, such as a high-fat, high-calorie diet or lack of exercise, may all exert their risk primarily through building excess body fat. The increased risk of excess body fat will not be apparent until after you reach menopause. However, it's not worth waiting until menopause to lose the weight. The most powerful studies show that it's weight gained early in adulthood that does the greatest damage. Drop glucose load. 3 stars. A high insulin level is a risk even for thin premenopausal women, since a high glucose load is likely to lead to the kind of apple-shaped obesity where fat is stored around the abdomen instead of the buttocks and thighs, and lifelong weight problems. A diet low in glucose load makes sense. Add fiber. 3 stars. Since the premenopausal years are when your body produces the largest amounts of estrogen, trapping that estrogen with fiber is an important step. 35 grams of fiber is the minimum. If you can work your way up to 50 grams, you will achieve a spectacular ability to control your hunger and your weight. Drop your oxidant load. 3 stars. This drops your overall risks of initiating cancer as well as helping with lifelong weight control. 9 a day fruits and vegetables gives you your maximum advantage. Eat cruciferous vegetables. 2 stars. With large circulating levels of estrogen, it's important to channel as much into good estrogen as possible. Cruciferous vegetables do just that. For women at high risk, supplementing with indole-3 carbinol supplements produces a pronounced effect. The starting dose is 300 milligrams a day. Avoid chemical estrogens. 1 star. The younger you are, the less likely it is that you have been exposed to major amounts of chemical estrogens, but the more vigilant you should be about avoiding future exposure. Until more is known, avoiding foods likely to contain pesticide residue and other chemical estrogens is a wise move. A note about pregnancy. New research shows that low amounts of estrogen during pregnancy may lead to miscarriage. For that reason, you may not want to cut the estrogen effect while you are pregnant. This is an important point to cover with your obstetrician. Breast Cancer Prevention Plan for Women with Low Estrogen Levels After Menopause. The majority of breast cancer is diagnosed in postmenopausal women. Many of the preventive steps you take as a younger woman will pay off here. If you have not taken any of those steps as a young woman, you will want to begin a more rigorous prevention program. Although ovarian estrogen production drops dramatically after menopause, estrogen produced by the adrenal glands and in body fat and muscle can still supply a significant amount, especially in Western women. One study found that British postmenopausal women had estrogen levels 171% higher than those of Chinese women. Control body fat, 5 stars. Since body fat is the key source of estrogen production for postmenopausal women, this is the most important and dangerous source of estrogen. This evidence comes from 121,000 women enrolled in the Harvard Nurses Health Study. Overweight, postmenopausal women had 50 to 100% more estrogen than lean women. Weight gain at menopause and after appears to cause the greatest risk because it is the largest contributor to estrogen production. Obesity is also associated with a larger tumor size at the time of diagnosis, more spread to the lymph nodes, and poorer survival. Both a low glucose load and exercise help to control your weight and your breast cancer risk. Exercise, 5 stars. After the menopause, moderate exercise may be the most helpful. Walking at a modest speed of 18 to 20 minutes a mile burns fat and increases the body's sensitivity to insulin, so that less is required, according to a study by Katarina Borer of the University of Michigan. This also helps to burn off extra body fat. Eat fish or take fish oil, 4 stars. This will rapidly increase your ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 fats. Since it takes about 3 years for your body to rid itself of omega-6, you may want to protect yourself by taking a higher dose of fish oils for those 3 years. That's why you may want to consider the full 10 grams per day dose of fish oils while you wash omega-6 fats out of your system. What I mean by washing out is that over the course of 3 years on a diet very low in omega-6 fats, those omega-6 fats will be used up by the body and gradually replaced by healthier fats. Block estrogens, 3 stars. Some postmenopausal women still make large amounts of estrogen. Those are women with a high amount of body fat or a high-calorie, high-fat, lower-fiber diet. Other women are taking estrogen as part of hormone replacement therapy, HRT, and drink alcohol on a daily basis. Still others have large amounts of chemical estrogen concentrated in their breast fat. If you are counted among them, you may still benefit from an estrogen receptor blocker's ability to displace these estrogens from estrogen receptors. Because of the possibility that soy may stimulate the breast, you want to be certain to be within the estrogen window. That is, paradoxically, very low doses of soy are as likely to stimulate the breast as are huge amounts. To remain within this window of soy consumption, aim for between 35 and 60 grams of soy per day. Soy is also considered a substitute for HRT in that it has a protective effect on bone and heart and diminishes the symptoms of menopause. The other alternative is the drug raloxifene. It is FDA approved for postmenopausal women to prevent osteoporosis. If you're not going to take hormone replacement therapy, this is a great alternative because it helps to preserve bone, lowers your cholesterol level, and may cut your risk of breast cancer as much as 90% after just 30 months of use. Tamoxifen has a higher side effect and risk profile than raloxifene, but could be considered by women at very high risk. Adding aromatase inhibitors may reduce the risk of breast cancer an additional 90%. For high-risk postmenopausal women, the combination of an aromatase inhibitor and raloxifene may be extremely promising. This combination could reduce the risk of breast cancer by 99%, bringing the risk level close to the low one that males currently have. Drink sparingly, 3 stars. Alcohol has less of an effect on postmenopausal females because there is less estrogen to boost. So in the years when heart disease is looming as a far greater risk, you may want to consider a glass of red wine. In middle-aged and older women, several drinks a week gives you significant protection against heart disease with only a minimal increased risk of breast cancer, but only for women who are already at risk for heart disease. At less than a drink per day, there is only a marginal increase in breast cancer risk with a substantial drop in deaths from heart disease. If you are at risk for heart disease, there is an even larger drop in death with a single drink a day, with a small increased risk in breast cancer. With 2 or 3 drinks, some of the heart protective effects begin to fade and the breast cancer rate climbs even higher, as does that for cirrhosis. However, the rules change if you are taking hormone replacement therapy because alcohol boosts the estrogen levels in the bloodstream, which increases the risk of breast cancer. With hormone replacement therapy, drinking alcohol can triple the amount of circulating estrogens. Elizabeth S. Ginsburg, M.D., from the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Brigham and Women's Hospital, Boston, conducted a double-blind crossover study of 24 postmenopausal women to determine the effects of moderate alcohol consumption on the circulating level of estradiol. The study reported that estradiol levels increased by 327% following alcohol ingestion in women on estrogen replacement therapy. What's more, significant increases in estradiol were detected within 10 minutes after drinking, when blood alcohol levels were still low. The great fear is that HRT plus alcohol use increases the risk of breast cancer to greater than that of either alone. What's even worse is that the effects of alcohol accumulate. The more you drink in a given period, the higher the estradiol level. There are some who believe much of the risk of hormone replacement therapy lies in its combination with alcohol. If you do consider HRT, consider a very low dose. A new study in the Archives of Internal Medicine shows that women get the bone-sparing and heart-protective effects of estrogen with fewer side effects, even if they take half the usual dose, 0.3 milligrams instead of the usual 0.625 milligrams. One easy way to have it all may be to skip your estrogen therapy on the days you drink, so that there is no boost in your blood level. That way you're getting the heart protection of estrogens one day and of alcohol the others. You'll want to discuss this with your doctor. If you're considering HRT as short-term treatment of menopausal symptoms and are concerned about breast cancer, be reassured that the actual risk isn't apparent until 10 years of therapy have been completed, especially if you don't drink and aren't at high risk for breast cancer. However, as more and more medications that protect the heart, bones, and breast come on the market, I believe you'll ultimately elect to replace HRT with one of them for longer-term preventive therapy. That means you can start taking HRT now for symptomatic relief, with a view to switching to the selective estrogen receptor modulator, SERM, of your choice as they come on the market. SERMs are designed to have all the good effects of estrogen with none of the bad. Raloxifene is a successful early example. Eat cruciferous vegetables, 3 stars. With the far lower production of estrogen, there's less bad estrogen that cruciferous vegetables can influence. They're still helpful and contain lots of antioxidants to lower oxidant load. Drop glucose load, 3 stars. A low glucose load will go a long way toward protecting you against the weight gain that often occurs with menopause. Drop oxidant load, 3 stars. A high fruit and vegetable diet still remains the best way to block the initiation of cancer. Avoid omega-6 fats, 3 stars. Even though overall estrogen production has decreased, there can still be a substantial booster effect from eating bad fats. You may substitute olive oils or fish oil. If your whole life you have eaten a diet high in omega-6 fats, now you can lower your risk more quickly by taking fish oils on a daily basis. Add fiber, 2 stars. Fiber's primary importance after the menopause is to control weight and protect against heart disease. Since there is far less estrogen produced, there is less importance given to trapping estrogen with fiber. Avoid chemical estrogens, 1 star. Most of your exposure to chemical estrogens will come from what you ate when pesticides were in heavy use prior to the early 1970s. Since those levels can be pretty high, protecting yourself against chemicals already in your body is key. Both estrogen blockers and a diet rich in omega-3 fats will help you blunt the effect of chemical estrogens. Breast Cancer Prevention Plan for Breast Cancer Survivors. Breast cancer survivors are routinely being put on diets to prevent recurrence. These diets are radically different in purpose from the general breast cancer prevention diet. Because stray cancer cells may still be present, the diet's job is actually to help fight and destroy cancer cells and to prevent regrowth over a very short time frame, as little as several months. Diet is clearly not a substitute for chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery, but it is being used at top centers to supplement them. As I've mentioned, flax is being given to cancer patients even before surgery to shrink tumor size. Since treatment programs are individualized, you will want to go over your nutritional treatment with your oncologist or an oncologist who deals with nutrition at a top cancer center. Breast benefits of diet. Beyond the basic benefits of cutting the estrogen effect, researchers hope for even more aggressive cancer-fighting properties from diet, including the following: decrease tumor size, wall off tumor growth, cut off the fuel for further growth, shut down further genetic damage. The recommendations here are divided into 2 parts. First, those for which there are no reservations because they are universally accepted to be safe and effective. Second, because this crosses over from pure prevention into part of an intensive medical plan. Those recommendations that you will want to discuss with your doctor to be certain they are part of a solid overall treatment plan. Recommended without hesitation. Don't drink. 5 stars. Alcohol is such a clear and well-established risk that it makes sense to drink sparingly or not at all. Avoid omega-6 fats. 5 stars. Cutting the booster effect to a bare minimum by avoiding polyunsaturated fats is crucial. Substituting omega-3 fats may have a strong synergistic effect. Exercise. 5 stars. Exercise plays a big part in improving your sense of well-being after surviving cancer. It will also help you drop your estrogen production. Take fish oil, 5 stars. Changes are early and dramatic with fish oil. This is an aggressive measure that quickly changes the biology of your breast. Many cancer centers now firmly recommend this. The only question is dose, since high doses have been linked to bleeding. 10 milligrams is a safe dose in terms of bleeding. Sloan Kettering and UCLA both include fish oils as part of regular and experimental protocols. Control body fat, 4 stars. This has the added benefit of making recurrences easier to detect early. Avoid hormone replacement therapy, 4 stars. Avoiding hormone replacement therapy makes sense because you cut the estrogen load on your system. If you really want to take an estrogen for menopausal symptoms, then consider raloxifene or soy. Add fiber, 4 stars. Trapping estrogen in the bowel and preventing recirculation makes the most sense if you are still exposed to near normal levels of estrogen. The fiber will also help with weight control. Block estrogen receptors, 5 stars. Estrogen-blocking drugs are the most effective means of cutting the estrogen effect. Tamoxifen is the most frequently prescribed estrogen blocker. 5-year survival figures are close to 90% when given with chemotherapy for breast cancer survivors. Raloxifene poses an interesting alternative. It appears to protect against breast cancer, with a 77% decrease in cancer after just 18 months' use in women who did not have cancer when they began the trial, and as much as 90% after 30 months. Doctors are awaiting clinical trials to determine what use it may have in breast cancer and whether it poses any risk to the ovaries. Soy. This is the area of greatest nutritional contention in women who have survived breast cancer. The question remains whether soy is a suitable estrogen receptor blocker once a patient has stopped taking tamoxifen or completed treatment. Since there are no suitable clinical trials to answer the question, it remains unanswered. Since soy can act as a weak estrogen, many oncologists are squeamish about prescribing it for women who have low estrogen states as a result of breast cancer therapy or menopause. Any estrogenic effect could be potentially harmful, and the weak estrogenic effect of soy is included. Many doctors think it's playing with fire. Genistein, the most active component, can act as both an estrogen and an anti-estrogen. It's difficult to predict how it will act, and it can act in both ways at the same time in one person. A look to Asian women, however, shows no sign of a problem has ever been detected in breast cancer survivors. Soy has other anti-cancer properties, such as its effects as an antioxidant and its ability to block new blood vessel growth. Clearly, premenopausal women with fully functioning ovaries and high levels of estrogen production might benefit. For postmenopausal patients, few doctors dare make any kind of prescriptive advice. For that reason, you will want to review this with your oncologist. If you go the soy route, remember that the risk, if any, is in eating too little soy. For that reason, you want to make the full commitment to 35 or 60 grams a day. Receptor status. Breast cancer cells may also have estrogen receptors. Breast cancer cells that have estrogen receptors are called estrogen receptor positive, or ER positive. That means that estrogen can spur further growth of the tumor by attaching to the receptor so that estrogen blockers may be an effective adjunct to treatment. Flaxseed. Since proof of flaxseed as an estrogen blocker is just now being published, you will need to review taking it with your doctor. Drop glucose load, 3 stars. The crosstalk between insulin and estrogen receptors is pure bad news, since together they create an even stronger estrogen effect. Using a lowered glucose load to lower insulin decreases the synergy between estrogen and insulin to lower the estrogen effect. Eat cruciferous vegetables, 3 stars. Since bad estrogens may actually induce cancers by attaching to a cell's DNA, cruciferous vegetables are an important part of the plan. Lower calories, 3 stars. Sloan Kettering recommends a low-calorie diet. This may seem counterintuitive for cancer survivors trying to nourish themselves, but Dr. Moisha Shika strongly believes that excess calories may be potent cancer promoters in these women. He has no reservations about this diet in early-stage cancers. By low-calorie, Dr. Shika means about 1,500 calories, not an overly restrictive calorie intake. Rita Mitchell, the nutritionist who prepared the meal plans laid out in this program, feels this may be too low for some women to feel good and remain active. Your nutritionist can help determine what the right number of calories is for your diet. Drop oxidant load, 3 stars. Since this is the only available measure to stop the constant toxic barrage on your DNA, a 9-a-day fruit and vegetable diet, emphasizing those highest in antioxidants, is critical. Avoid chemical estrogens, 3 stars. Surgeons at Sloan Kettering strongly advise their patients to avoid eating risky fish and meats that may contain chemical estrogens. For a breast cancer survivor, avoiding these chemicals is vitally important until more is known about their risks. Recommended in consultation with your oncologist or as part of a trial. Take Indole 3 Carbinol supplements. 3 stars. Since bad estrogens may play a role in both cancer initiation and growth, a full dose of Indole 3 Carbinol capsules should be considered. Since dosing is still being worked out, this is considered experimental. However, you will want to take a minimum of 300 milligrams a day, the lowest dose considered effective. In some trials, 500 milligrams is now being used as a daily dose. Gene status. For those women who carry BRCA1, BRCA2, and other yet-to-be-discovered genetic mutations, most serious researchers do not believe that diet can prevent cancers from growing. Far more powerful genetically engineered tools are likely to be necessary, combined with a powerful estrogen receptor drug, either tamoxifen or raloxifene. Presently, for women at very high risk of breast cancer, there is much more hard clinical data on tamoxifen than there is on raloxifene. Recommendation. My recommendation is to participate in an established clinical protocol so that you can receive all the advantages of careful observation and the encouragement to observe the diet strictly. Intensive intervention supplements. Many lead researchers are concentrating the most powerful components of foods into high-powered supplements in an effort to prevent breast cancer. For those at highest risk, this program combines the most powerful anti-cancer supplements on the market. This is an incredibly simple program, requiring only a few minutes of your day. Premenopausal. Fish oil capsules, 10 grams a day, 4 stars. Estrogen blockers, 4 stars. Soy protein powder, 60 grams a day, or flax, 25 grams a day, or consider an estrogen-blocking drug, tamoxifen or raloxifene, as part of an established clinical trial if you are at very high risk. No alcohol, 4 stars. Exercise, 4 stars. Indole 3 Carbinol, 500 milligrams a day, 3 stars. No omega-6 fats, 3 stars. Postmenopausal. Since the estrogen pathway has diminished substantially in its intensity by the end of menopause, a supplemented strategy is less important than a strong, balanced diet. There is also concern about soy supplements in women with low estrogen production, so these are not included. No omega-6 fats. 4 stars. Fish oil capsules, 10 grams a day, 4 stars. Indole 3 Carbinol, 500 milligrams a day, 4 stars.